No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome into the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, with some more bad history for those Colorado Rockies. I'll dig into the details of the Mets series, try to find those silver linings, the few that there were. Tyro Estrada returns. And get to the preview of the Miami Marlins series, where there will be more history on the line. But on Sunday, Colorado lost their 50th game of the season. This was a game on June 1st, in fact, which does mean that the Rockies went into June with 9 wins, single digits. And instead of winning Game 10, they lost Game 50, their previous worst, was losing game number 50 on June 21st, which was by the 2024 club. So they're now 9-50. They got swept by the Mets 10th time this season, suffering a sweep. It's their fourth 8-game losing streak of the season. The rest of MLB has only 3 such streaks. Think about that. 8-game losing streak is really, really bad. 29 teams in Major League Baseball have had 3 8-game losing streaks. Your Colorado Rockies have 4 8-game losing streaks. And they haven't gone past 8 games, so maybe that means they're a lock to win on Monday? Oof, we'll see. Now, back when it was just a 5-game losing streak, MLB had seen 27 losing streaks of 5 games or more, and Colorado owned 6 of those. So even still, when you break it down that way, not great. Rockies are 2-17 since naming Warren Schaefer the interim manager on May 11th. They've got 4 wins from the month of April. They won 4 in May. Both were the fewest wins in a single full calendar month in franchise history, minimum of 20 games. So just on their own in a calendar month, 2 of the worst months, and they happen to be back-to-back, 9th and 10th instance of a major league team winning 4 or fewer games in a full month dating back to September of 2002. So not totally crazy, just almost since the turn of the century. A four-win month is almost unheard of. They got swept in Wrigley, as you know. They got swept at Citi Field, as Kenneth Weber of Purple World pointed out, that they've been swept more times in a 3-game series. They suffered more 3-game sweeps than actual games that they've won. 10 sweeps and 9 wins. Really, really rough stuff there. This 8-game losing streak, as I said, was their 4th 8-game losing streak. Now they've dropped each of their 19 series this season. And dating back to last year, they've actually lost 22 straight series. Longest losing streaks in MLB history. Both of them are the longest per Elias Sports Bureau. Rockies are 3-28 on the road this season, their worst road start in franchise history. They're also the first team since 1901 to lose 27 of their first 30 road games of the season. In fact, we can extend that to 28 of their first 31. They've not won back-to-back road games since last September 5th and 6th. Rockies starting pitchers have not logged a winning decision on the road this season. Now, they've had quality starts in 9 of their What is this stat? Rockies starting pitchers. Let's figure this out together. The Rockies starting pitchers have not logged a winning decision on the road despite 9 of their 14 quality starts this season coming in road starts. Nope, that one should not have made the game notes or my notes. That means nothing to me. I'm not processing that one. A little too convoluted, perhaps. In discounting one-game series, Rockies are now the fourth team in the expansion era. So that was 1961 was the first expansion that we had. I think that was the Senators and the Houston Colt 45s. And they're the first to go at least 19 series before recording their first series wins. No, Houston Colt 45s were a National League team when they started out because the Astros used to be in the National League. So, shoot, I'm forgetting who was in 1961. Maybe it was the Texas Rangers. Anyway, discounting that. So what's interesting, too, about the fact that they've lost this 19th series is that the 87 Padres, the 69 Expos, and the 1962 Senators, they all won their first series in their 19th series played. So if I'm understanding this fun fact from the Rockies game notes, should the Rockies beat Miami in Miami, just take 2 of 3, that'll be a series win in their 20th series. So that would be a new record, but they've yet to do that. They've yet to win a series, so we'll wait to find out what that final number is. And if you subscribe to, or even if you just want to check it out, it is free, the Rockies Insider Newsletter. You can find out if 100 losses is probable for 2026 as well. I've been saying it on the podcast that, yeah, it's pretty much a lock, especially when you look at the Chicago White Sox, but A, the White Sox season isn't over yet. We'll wait and see what they end up doing. But also, there are some other seasons with 115-plus losses, and some of those teams were able to avoid 100 losses in the next season. It becomes a lot harder when you're losing 120, but I take a look at that in the Rockies Insider Newsletter. Check that out over on Substack, or you can look at my link tree. I also go into Carlos Gonzalez setting a new Colorado record, an Andres Galarraga blast that later got him blasted, and the last Japanese pitcher in franchise history, folks. Next year will be the 25th anniversary of the last time the Rockies had a Japanese pitcher. All right, the Mets series on Sunday, 5-3 loss. Interesting lineup for Colorado on Lou Gehrig Day. You probably saw the number 4 on all of the jerseys. The number 4 looked strange on the Mets jerseys because they already have a bunch of numbers. They're honoring folks with their home jerseys and their away jerseys, so it got very confusing on their jersey. There's a lot happening with that. But the lineup, it was not strong. It was just not a competitive lineup. They only lose by 2 runs. They scored 3, okay. 5 hits, okay. They're hurting right now. They're struggling. But it was nice to see Sam Hilliard getting 2 base hits and I think he had an RBI in this game as well. But it was beautiful for him and his father, Jim, who unfortunately did pass away after a courageous battle with ALS. So nice for Hilliard to get a spot in the lineup and to come through. It wasn't the only time he came through. This weekend, Keston Hara was playing first base, making his Rockies debut, and Orlando Arcia got his first start over at second base with the 3 runs on Sunday. Colorado now goes to 73 runs scored on the road. And when you consider that they scored 14 in Phoenix against the Diamondbacks on May 17th, nearly 20% of the Rockies' road runs have come in one game. In the post-game scrum with manager Warren Schaefer, he said that Carson Palmquist had his best start as a big leaguer, according to Schaefer. I would disagree. I think Palmquist had a really solid outing his last time ascending the bump, but he made it into the 5th inning. You know, up to that point, through 4 innings, yeah, he was solid before that home run to Lindor. So I can see the silver lining that Schaefer was discussing, but made into the 5th to give up 4 hits, 4 runs, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts. That's the big one right there, the 8 punches. You had 2 home runs from Alonso and Lindor off Palmquist. Soto also ended up homering in this game off Zach Agnos. That's the first run that he's allowed since May 13th in Arlington. It's also the last time that Agnos has given up a home run. That was to Josh Jung of the Rangers. But You have Alonso, Lindor, and Soto homering in the same game. Not sure how many times they've done that this season, but when Francisco Lindor hits a homer, he did that in two games this series for a total of three home runs against the Rockies this weekend. When Lindor has homered, the last 25 games in which he's homered in the regular season, the Mets have won all 25 of those games. That's tied for the second longest streak of wins when homering for a player since 1900, behind only Carl Fiorello 29 times from 51 to 53. He was with the Brooklyn Dodgers. Tied with him is, fittingly, Lou Gehrig, 1927 to 1928, also 25 games in which he had homered. The Yankees won. And then the MVP, controversial because he later came out saying that he did use performance-enhancing drugs, Ken Caminiti, 97 to 98, 25 games in which he homered. The Padres ended up winning. Eli Sports Bureau and Sara Lang both came through with that bad boy. Jake Bird lowered his ERA to 1.60. Three strikeouts during the four outs he was out there on Sunday, and that was pretty much it. Saturday was an 8-2 loss, and you know, I don't know what was worse in this game. Was it the start of the game, or was it the start from their starting pitcher? If you're watching this game, it began with a strikeout of Jordan Beck, in which he didn't even see a pitch. Well, no, he saw three pitches, but he didn't see a pitch on his strike three because it was a pitch clock delay. So we just went right back and did not get that third strike, which was unfortunate. The starting pitching, equally as unfortunate, to say the least. Antonio Senzatella, not sure what the Rockies are going to do about him. If they're going to continue to run him out without solid options, they may have to. Perhaps an IL stint. I'll talk about what this rotation might look like coming up in the Miami series, and if there could be some room for Antonio Senzatella to take a break. But on Saturday, four innings, eight hits, seven runs, two walks, two strikeouts, 8.03 ERA in the month of May. He's allowed four runs in nine of his last 10 starts. Really rough stuff. Look, he gives up hits. He does not miss bats. He was great in spring training, but it's spring training. And now, you know, things are really starting to catch up with him in a big way. We did see Herman Marquez turn things around in three of his last four starts. Not sure if we're going to see that same turnaround for Senzatella, but in this season in which, you know, I don't want to say you've got nothing to lose. You don't have anything to lose, but that doesn't mean you're just going to run out there someone you don't have confidence in. Conversely, you don't want to run somebody out there who's just not ready. So while on paper, you can look at someone like even an Anthony Molina, Bradley Blaylock. They're the only two guys right now down in Albuquerque on the 40-man roster that are starting pitchers. You can say, well, yeah, those guys are more future pieces of this organization than Antonio Senzatella, who is only under contract past 2026 or after the 2026 season. But if those guys just aren't ready and you feel you are going to be more competitive than Antonio Senzatella, and if you feel like, yeah, he's a guy that's going to pitch to maybe a 6 ERA this season, and yet the younger guys could be worse, I mean, those are two bad things happening simultaneously. It's both that you don't have depth and both that the depth that you do have is not very good. And I think that's really the case for the Rockies right now, unfortunately. Ryan Rolison went two innings, did not give up a run, dropped his ERA down to 4.50. Five of his seven appearances this year have been scoreless, and four of those five were in multiple innings. Only three hits on Saturday for the Rockies offense. They struck out nine times, so kind of something positive. You can't hang your hat off on that, but it's something. No one had more than two strikeouts. Tovar didn't strike out at all. He did come through with homer number three. I think Kodai Senga had 17 consecutive outs after that Tovar home run. They got up early, Colorado did, 1-0, and then, you know, Senzatella gave it all back, unfortunately, on Friday. You had some transactions, which I'll get to. You did see Sam Hilliard get back into the fray. They did lose 4-2, but Sam Hilliard, his first game back in the majors with Colorado, his first plate appearance, was a pinch hit home run. So special weekend for him. It's good to see him back. Kyle Freeland on the bump in the Battle of Colorado Kids. 6 innings pitched, 3 runs, 7 hits, no walks, 4 strikeouts. David Peterson was better. He wasn't able to finish the sixth inning, but 5 2/3 innings pitched, 5 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. Tovar with 3 Ks in that game. Lindor with 2 home runs in that game, including a leadoff homer on the very first pitch against Kyle Freeland. Mets would not look back. Edwin Diaz struck out the side on 14 pitches. Rockies simply did not have a chance. We'll leave it at that. Tyro Estrada, let's get to him. He returned on Friday, or I should say he debuted. He did debut, but he also returned. He was hitting cleanup in his first game, which is rather strange considering he only had 24 plate appearances at Albuquerque. 40 is typically the magic number to get a player ready for season, which is what Estrada was doing. And of course, they had to rush him back as really weren't too comfortable with keeping Adiel Amador there at second base. So he batted cleanup after hitting 304 at AAA, only had 1 extra base hit. It was 1 double. Tuesday, very unfortunate. He did end up coming through with a base hit, but did make 2 errors on Saturday. Disappointing to see, I imagine, for owner Dick Monfort, who did say in January in Greeley that if you like defense, this infield defense may be one of the best in history. How much of that was him talking about the entirety of baseball history, or how much was it in the entirety of Rockies history? Because if it was Rockies history, even that would have been a stretch, as we're not talking about Tulo or Story, take your pick, with LeMahieu, Arenado, and any number of good first basemen. Michael Tolia, you know, withstanding the defensive metrics, certainly don't rate him quite as well as the Rockies front office does. Is he going to be a future Hall of Famer? That certainly remains to be seen. It's not going to happen this year, considering he's in the minors. I will address that. Let's talk about this Marlins series a little bit, because this could get even worse for the Rockies. Look, it's already super bad, but the Rockies have never gone 0-9 on a road trip. Once they went 0-7, and they did go 1-9 twice. They went 1-8 3 times. And 0-9 right now just really feels fitting based on how they've been playing and how this season is going. So they're going to have their hands full, to say the least. Monday's game, 4:40. Hermen Marquez, he's 1-7 with a 7.13 ERA against Max Meyer, 3-4 with a 4.53 ERA. That'll be on Rockies TV. You can hear it on the radio, KOA. On Tuesday and Wednesday, Rockies don't have a starter announced. That's a bit puzzling. I'll get to that. But they will face former Cy Young Award winner and a guy who is really struggling right now in Sandy Alcantara, 2-7, 8.47 ERA. Anytime you have a guy with his skill set, despite struggles, it wouldn't surprise you if he went out and absolutely shoved on Tuesday at 4:40 in Miami, and then getaway day on Wednesday. Thursday is an off day before the Rockies come back to Denver to face the Mets. I mean, they'll be coming back Wednesday night, but they'll be back at Coors Field on Friday to take on the Mets once again. But Wednesday's 10 a.m. start, to be announced against former Rocky Cal Quantrill, 3-5 with a 5.84 ERA. I think Cal Quantrill, if I was picking anybody to have the best start of this series for the Marlins, I think Max Meyer probably still would be tops, but Cal Quantrill is the guy that I think is going to set himself apart from the trio, simply because, look, there are players on the Rockies right now that I don't know that they would make a ton of other 40-man rosters or active rosters. And when I think back to so many guys on rehab assignments just carving up AAA players in the Pacific Coast League and even ones in the East and the International League, but the quadruple-A player is just not the same as a big league player. In fact, there's been somewhat of a shortage of quadruple-A players just with so many young guys getting opportunities in the majors now that the quality of play in AAA just isn't as good as it's been in the past. So a veteran guy, even who doesn't have his best stuff, that's something that Austin Gomber said when he made his start on March 28th with the Isotopes, is that, yeah, I just didn't have anything. And yet you look and you said, wow, he actually had a lot of success and he had nothing going for him, but he knew how to take advantage of those quadruple A type hitters. And I think Cal Quantrill, knowing a lot of this lineup, is going to be able to take advantage of the Rockies a lot more than just a young guy that can have some dominant stuff in Max Meyer. That's why, for me, I think Quantrill is probably going to have the best start of this series. We'll see. But what could the rotation look like on Tuesday and Wednesday? Well, right now it does line up for Tanner Gordon to go on Tuesday and Kyle Freeland on Wednesday, but something else could be cooking for the Rockies. Now, Chase Dolander is able to come off the injured list during this series, so maybe you have Dolander on Tuesday, and then Gordon goes on Wednesday, but that then means Freeland is going to face the Mets again at home on Friday. You might not want that. So maybe Freeland gets his start in Miami, and you push Gordon back to Friday against the Mets. Senzatella is scheduled for Friday against the Mets. I'm not sure if you want him to go back out there again for that start. So the Rockies have some decisions to make, and they've been aggressive on the transaction front in moving guys in and out from the active roster. So maybe we'll get some more of that again this week as they try to find something that sticks and is more than just silver linings, more than just, hey, we're seeing some growth. We're fighting. We're battling. Every team is fighting. Every team is battling. Every team is showing silver linings. But not every team is 9-50 like the Colorado Rockies. And this is a product based upon failures made by the front office for the last five seasons. No doubt about it. And it's going to be a while until they can dig themselves out of this hole. And I'm not sure that they've even purchased a shovel yet. That's where things are right now with the Colorado Rockies. So I appreciate you hanging in there with me and listening to give me your momentum in this audio-only version of the show. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, Rockies Insider on YouTube. You can get some wonderful clips. I'll have plenty more, obviously, coming from the ballpark this week for the Mets and Giants series. So make sure you subscribe and you can find out when I'm going live over there. So appreciate the support. Appreciate the momentum you've given me. But that kind of momentum, unfortunately, it's only as good as my next show, so of course, I'll talk to you then.